Titus is also another individual that Paul had a close relationship with and was doing things, something very similar to that of Timothy, and going to specific areas and building up churches, training up people, and they become, therefore, I mean, the idea was that they would become elders and then he'll be able to move on, training himself out the job, so to speak. So, this is a great example where we can see Paul in his relationship with Titus, discipling him, and then Titus repeating the process. So it says here in verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, thank God, all right, that's awesome, that he always delivers on his promises, by the way, powerful, who God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, in which now, and now at this appointed season, or at his appointed season, he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appointed, elders in every town, as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable. He who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine. Then he gives him instruction on how to handle people who aren't doing well. In the same way Timothy had to deal with false teaching, he gives Titus advice on how to deal with unruly and ungodly believers, or you know, carnal believers, if you will. So I think this is incredible. So we see here in this relationship, he calls him my son in Christ. That the discipleship has been so, I imagine, so intense and so close that he is his son in this, in that very sense of Christianity, if you will. That they have the relationship of like a father and a son, and that he, I imagine, loves him in that same way. So Paul is instructing him how to make disciples and how to have them grow to such an extent that they can be appointed as leaders in their community and also repeat the process. This is incredible stuff. So, Timothy, Titus, grow, sent out, continue to grow, cause others to be saved by giving them the good news. They accept, they receive, a community's there, or they go to an area, excuse me, where Paul had already been. He sends them there, and they grow, and then they become elders, and then they repeat the process. All right. So, all you see when you read this is grow, grow, grow. There's like a song, Miss Miriam, along with the innings, we have this song where we say, read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And it's like such an elementary concept with the kids, because we're all like, oh, here comes the action. Grow, grow, grow. And we're like, yeah, that's awesome. But, you know, for adults, we're kind of like, well, let's make it complex, you know. You know, you got to do this and do that, do this, do that, do that. But really, when you think of it, that song is really exactly how it goes. You read your word. You pray every day, spend some time with people who are like-minded believers, and you do grow, grow, grow. And it just keeps going. It can be an infinite process until you die. I mean, I think that's wonderful. So this is what we can take away from this, that it doesn't end with us getting saved. It doesn't end with us getting saved and just being really good believers. It doesn't end with us being saved, being really good believers, and then pouring to other people, kind of, sort of. It's a continual process until the day you die. And you're doing it because Christ, well, because of what Christ did for you, out of love for him. This is my service to the Lord. So I think this is incredible stuff. I think I challenge you all to think about this, to consider this. Bruce Henning has poured into my life and a lot of other individuals as well. My father and a man named Wayne Stapleton and some other individuals. And so because of that, I'm here today doing this right now and hopefully impacting you all as well. So my challenge to you all is to, when you evangelize, because I know some specific people here who do that, when you evangelize where you are and then people receive that, latch on to them. Don't just say, all right, give me some skin. See you later. Do good, bro. I'm sorry, I'm still young, so if I say, I try to come up here and just say, you know, and praise God, you know, but that's not how I am, sorry. So you want to latch on, I challenge you to latch on to that person and do very specific things, like get their phone number and say, let's meet, and meet frequently, and get in their business, and be accountable to, and have them be accountable to you, excuse me. And pour into their life. Don't be stingy with your wisdom. Share your wisdom. Share your knowledge. So I think it's really important that I make sure that everyone knows that if you do not have a relationship with Christ, none of this matters at all. This you can't start doing wonderful works for the Lord if you don't even know Him. So I think it's important that you understand that if I didn't know Chris, I couldn't walk up to him and be like, hey, what's up, man? Listen, I'm having this get together in my house. Don't forget to be there. And I'm going to need you to wash dishes too. Can you do that for me? And just actually get there early and help me cook too. Are we good? What? Who are you? Can I get to know your name first, buddy? It doesn't make any sense that you start 3 years into the relationship. You have to get to know Him first. We are spiritually dead. We were spiritually dead. Christ makes a way for you to have life. I think the best way is put in John 3:14, starting at 14, it says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. Background for that is that there were Israelites in numbers who were bitten by poisonous snakes. They're dying. They repent of their sin. They say, Moses, intercede for us. He prays. The Lord says, fashion a bronze snake. Just lift it up. Simply look on it. Awesome. And you live after that. So in the same way, Christ is lifted up. I see Him. I say, okay. I realize that I'm dying in my sin. I trust Him for salvation. And then I have life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. So whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. There are not multiple ways to doing this. Christ is the only way. Good works won't get you there, and a good relationship with the Lord or get you to heaven. And turning it to other methods of other gods won't get you there. Specific belief in Christ Jesus is the way that goes well. So if you're offended by that, awesome. Let's have a conversation afterwards. If not, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for the opportunity to speak here, Lord. And I pray that the words that You gave me were, they were delivered in the way that You wanted them to be delivered, Lord. So I pray that You will just work in the hearts of those that receive this message, Lord, that they will be convicted, and that they will go and they will be disciples and go make disciples, understanding that it is a never-ending process of growth and relationship. So I pray that You will just motivate myself and those here to continue to do this in love for You, and not just to be good people, but because we love You and we're thankful for what You did for us, Lord. So thank You once again for salvation, and thank You for relationship, and it's good to know You. In Jesus' name, amen.